G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit. If you're enjoying the content, make sure you head over to YouTube and give us a sub there, or head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on those platforms. Or if you want to keep up to date on anything that's going on, head over to Instagram or Facebook at Inner City Hermit. Awesome, killed that. So my guest today is Nathan Hibbert. Now, Nathan has had a very interesting sort of lead up to where he is. So you'll find out a little bit of a backstory on how I found out about Nathan, but he was one of the OG YouTube pranksters back in the day. He amassed a pretty big following of about 160,000 followers on YouTube, and his videos are pretty hilarious. But that's not why I got him on today. Obviously, I've been into Pokemon card collecting and getting values on my cards. So Nathan is pretty much Brisbane's own king of Pokemon card collecting, and he's got such a massive knowledge of Pokemon cards and just how to keep them, how to get them graded, what they're worth. And it was super interesting for someone like me, and yeah, really, really interesting stuff. So guys, without further ado, introducing Nathan Hibbert. Let's do this. G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of the Inner City Hermit. Another one in the books, and I have an absolute jack of all online trades here. I'll give you a bit of a background on how I found you. You get tattooed by the same guy I get tattooed by. Mm-hmm. Lots of anime Tilly stuff, which is awesome. Tilly's a mad dog. Mm-hmm. Then I found you got me back into Pokemon cards, which is fantastic. Then I looked into it more and I saw you had a pretty big Instagram following. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? Clicked on your YouTube and you have 160K subscribers. I've got Nathan Hibbert here. That's so Nathan. What's going on, brother?
Well, not too much, man. Not too much. 160. I forget about those thousands of subscribers sometimes.
Oh, man. It's unbelievable. Like somebody, and, you know, we sort of spoke about it in the lift, but you're one of the few people who sort of amassed a fairly big following, and then you just decided sort of to give it away a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, before we sort of touch on the Pokemon cards thing, I'm really intrigued as to what the go was there. Like, because I don't think a lot of people understand the stress that comes with YouTube. Everyone thinks, oh, you make videos and you have a great time and blah, blah, blah. But I could imagine there's a fuckload of stress that's involved with what you do, man.
Yeah, man. So, it's a funny story. It started, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I saw YouTube. I saw some people doing stuff. I think I was watching like Filthy Frank at that time. I'm sure everyone knows who
Filthy Frank is.
Yeah, yeah.
And Max Mofo.
So, his stuff. And I was like, oh, maybe like I can kind of do this. I didn't think I was very funny. So I tried to do like some videos in my bedroom, and I was like, I don't really know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And then I like saw some prank videos, because this is when they were like brand new on the internet. Like no one was doing it.
This is before like Jackson O'Doherty and Charmy and stuff.
Way before that stuff. Like, I think it was pretty much Remy Gillard.
Yeah, the Mario dude.
His stuff was like the only stuff I was watching.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, maybe I can do something like this, like stupid. And Adrian Van Ooyen, I don't know if you know him, might not. He was the biggest like YouTuber in Queensland at the time.
Oh, okay.
And he kind of did prank stuff, like silly stuff in public.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like started off and I did something out in public and it kind of got a bit of attention. I don't remember what the first video was I did in public. Anyway, that kind of got some attention, and then I like followed the trend and I was like, okay, this is getting subs quick.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to keep it up, even though it's not really what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I kind of just like went along with the trend, and then I kind of added my own little flavor to it. And then I started making like doing collaborations with Adrian, who had like 1 million+ subs at that time. So like working with him just boosted my channel really quick. And obviously the, YouTube algorithm was a bit different back then.
So it was a little bit TikTok. Like TikTok's very easy to get big on. Well, I say easy, but like it's, you can break through that hole a bit quicker.
Whereas... Yeah, it was weird in the past. Like if a bigger channel liked one of your videos, it would go in like their YouTube feed.
Oh, okay.
And so that would get you like thousands of views instantly just from one like. So that was like something that I'd like try and fight for, like chase all these big channels.
Yeah.
And whereas now, like I swear, if you're a new channel now trying to start off and grow, it's just impossible.
Dude, like I even look at some of the people that have shouted me out. Like Quay Cooper shouted me out, and that's like my claim to fame. But you get like the algorithm just doesn't really register that. Like, you know, I saw it and I had that mentality of like, this is it. It's going to get big. And then it was like, oh, I got like
six followers. Like that's or like six subscribers. And I was like, oh man. So it's actually crazy because you would be considered like one of the OGs. Like
I guess
you
so.
were before Jackson O'Doherty, before Shami, before, because I saw one of the first videos I clicked on. And I don't know, I actually looked at it a while back, so I don't know if I got it completely right, but you were in an elevator and you were doing like fucked up shit in the elevator as the elevator opened. And I was like, holy shit, this dude's got some hella balls. Like, that's wild. Like, when you did your first like prank video, that did you like, were you nervous? Like,
A little bit. Like, I kind of had the confidence that the channel was going to go somewhere. So that kind of like pushed me over the edge a little bit. And I was like, I'm just going to go for it now. And if it goes crap, then I won't do it again.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I came up with built myself, like the elevator videos, like the costume videos, I had like a lot of faith in them. So I was like really into it. So I like kept going and going and going. So they were way easier, but like, I don't know. I kind of like grew confidence over time and I could just like the schoolies videos were like ridiculous. They were just so over the top.
I could imagine,
like,
man.
I don't want to say that I started the schoolies interviews trend.
I think you did.
I'm pretty sure I did.
Honestly, like, because I backtracked. I was like, this was done like 5 years ago. And you see all the people that are doing them now and even like Bread Gang.
Yep.
You were Bread Gang before Bread Gang. Like, I've seen videos of you in the valley, like interviewing people. Obviously, not to the extent that they do. They sort of go a little bit over the top and they probably interview people they shouldn't. But like, there's a video of you, like, would you kiss me in public? And you just, I was like,
nuts, that video.
Mate, and the thing about it is I would consider myself pretty confident and I don't have anywhere near the balls that you had to do that. Like, that is wild. What sort of possessed you to do it, man?
I was going through a weird phase with like my weight and like body issues then as well. Yeah. So I was like, I used to be really overweight and I'd like, I never really like got that many girls. So I kind of like lost weight and I had this channel and I was like, I'm just going to like just go a bit nuts and just be like overconfident. So I was like, what's the dumbest thing I can do? I was like, I'm just going to go. This is because it was a trend. It sounds dumb now, but just any girl and just say like, can I kiss you? It's just basically spread corona.
I was going to say, you probably couldn't do that now because someone would put their hand up and be like, that's unhygienic or some shit like that. Like, it's amazing to see that, you know, what you were doing back in the day, which was considered like, oh yeah, it's funny. People look at it now like, oh shit, like, wow, I can't believe they're doing that and stuff like that. And you were just like, fuck it, who cares?
Because it was fairly new back then.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it wasn't as, pranks weren't as cringy as they are now. Oh, like after all the fake stuff came in, that kind of, I think that was a big reason why I stopped as well. Like, because people were, to compete with the other channels that were doing prank videos, you had to do fake prank videos, essentially. So, like, hire actors, get friends to, like, pose for you, fake reactions. And got to a point where I was like, I have to do, like, I have to fake or I got to just go basically break the law. And I wasn't, like, prepared to break the law. So, I couldn't really find, like, there was no spot to continue those style of videos.
Yeah, that's, and I could imagine, too, at that time when you're, like, you know, you're probably amassing a good following and you, like, obviously things are different now, but back then you probably were, like, this is, I want this to be everything. I want this. I could imagine the stress on sitting and being, like, fuck, what am I going to do to compete? And I feel like people don't see that, you know what I mean? People don't see the fact that, yeah, on camera they look great and they're doing all this stuff, but you don't see, like, holy shit, we need a prank. What are we going to do? Like, fuck. Like,
100%. Yeah, 100%. Like, you see channels that put such little effort into their video. And, like, I watch the video straight away. I'm like, that's fake. Like, instantly, I know exactly how they set it up. But no, like, it doesn't really matter when they're making bulk coin from that video.
Yeah.
And they're getting sponsors from those videos.
Yeah, and it's like, working. Like, why fix it if it's not broken? Yeah. If it's working, why change?
Exactly.
And I find it funny, too, because, you know, like you said, like, it's pretty easy to tell when something's fake. Like, and a couple of the really big guys too, you know, like their girlfriend's in on it. There's no way they'd do that to their girlfriend.
Oh yeah. 100%.
If I did that to Kia, my balls would be inside me. I would have got kicked in the dick, man.
Yeah.
So like, but it's funny that a lot of people still, they don't really care. They're just like, ah, it's fake, but it's funny. And you're kind of like, oh, it's kind of cheesy though. Like,
yeah, there's definitely not many real prank channels left anymore that I can think of. I don't really watch them anymore.
No, and I find that fun. Do you find that too, like with all of that, like you just said, do you find it sort of puts you off like making any sort of social media, TikTok style of stuff?
Yeah, I guess because I have done it in the past, like, I don't really know where to go from it. And like, obviously I'm older now and it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
I mean, like, if I found like a niche that I could maybe get back into, maybe I'd find a way to start doing it again. Because
please make Pokemon card videos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I fucking love them, man. I love them so much.
Yeah, I've like, got a few. It's funny, people from overseas just like hearing Australians talk.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, I look at like someone who's big for me is like, I look at like Max Mofo and I see his Pokemon channel, and like, and then I look at like Ando, who obviously does like, like Unlisted Leaf does probably a little more polish, more for like that younger generation. And it doesn't matter who I'm watching, I love it. Like, I love the fact that Max is like, fuck this, blah, blah, blah. And now I love the fact that Andrew's just like, holy whopping pool balls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I love the, like, the fact that you can, like, it's just, it's cool content. I love the content. There's nothing, it's, even if you're not a card collector, like, I literally saw some comments on Max's videos that said, This is fueling my gambling addiction.
Yeah.
Because people are just like, what? Like, I had a mate, Jacob Staines, who's like a full sporty dude, like probably has no interest in Pokemon cards, but he's like, why did I sit through that whole video? That made me excited. And I was like, dude, it makes me excited too. Mm. Like, it's, do you, because you obviously vary up your content. Do you feel like if you did chuck the Pokemon stuff up, do you reckon people would sort of look at it and expect what you used to do? Do you almost feel as it's almost a disadvantage?
Yeah, 100%. So I tried to do it with vlogging and it didn't work. It's very hard to hold on to your core audience from the content that you originally started making. I think if I stuck at it for long enough, you'd kind of hold on to some viewers because they're there for you. They don't really care what you do. But I think it's been so long now, it would be a pretty big grind. Like, I don't know what a big grind is considered now, but I reckon at least 6 months of constant uploading, like 4 or 5 videos a week to kind of reverse it and get people forgetting about your old content and moving on to the new stuff. So maybe it's something I do in the past because I know how to do it. I know all the information about it.
Yeah. At the same time, like you said, you know, you do a lot of social media stuff for the bullets and like, I guess in a way, like that past of making content and knowing what works and understanding algorithms is probably helping you with what you're doing now. Like, you know how to shoot things, like you said you're doing videography now, which is so sick. Like, and I guess in a way you've like sort of progressed, like, even though
the,
like,
other side of the camera now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so just out of curiosity, how old were you when you started making those prank videos?
19, maybe.
Yeah, so pretty young.
Around that.
Yeah.
19, 20. Yeah. I think the first Schoolies video, I had just turned 21. No, I was 20. Yeah. 20 when I did the first Schoolies one.
Okay.
So it was still like culturally acceptable to make out with 17, 18-year-olds.
But you know, no, I see what you mean. Like, it was, in a way, that no one would have called it or no one would have done anything because you're still young. But if you went down there now...
Well, I don't know. If you watch the 3 Schoolies videos I've done, you can see the third one, I had a girlfriend at that point. So I obviously didn't do the same stuff I was doing in the other ones. Yeah. But you can see I don't know what the word is, but the scumminess kind of went down a little bit.
Yeah, you kind of like...
And I focus more on the culture.
You built up a bit of... I don't know the word. You know when you're like, like humility, you're like, shouldn't do that now. Yeah, like, 100%, you know, if this 100%. Goes out. Yeah, because you did mention like when you go for job interviews and stuff, you're like, first things first, this happened in my life. Yep. And also, let's leave that there. And then,
I think it would be the worst thing to go for like a regular job and then... They've 1 week in, they find this video of you in an elevator with
especially doing now, man. Like nowadays, it's like and something you did 10 years ago can come back. Like I know for me, I like went through my Twitter because I saw all these things coming out and like, excuse me. I've never posted anything like really like scandal, like in terms of like race or anything like that. But I went through and I was like, what a dumb 14-year-old Mattson post on Facebook. And lucky enough, I just saw fucking shit posts about my girlfriends and like, I love this person so much. And I was like, well, can't get in trouble for that. So that's good. But like it's wild how, and I guess the big question that I think everyone would want to hear is 100, like, cause I think there's a lot of myths around YouTubers, and I know for a fact that 100,000 followers really you're not a millionaire after 100,000 followers.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's what people sort of think, like, oh, once I get to that, like, I can quit my job. Like, were you still working and stuff like that when you were making videos?
So I got to a point, I was still living with my parents, yeah. So I didn't have to pay as much rent as a regular yeah. human. So I did it full-time for about 2 years. I'm trying to, like, the average pay, obviously it's way different now, like it's way less. But I think it would have been on around 4,000 a month, something like that.
Yeah.
Which I guess is standard wage for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
So having that was pretty good, but to keep it consistent, like now I reckon the equivalent would be, it's really hard, maybe 500,000 subs would yeah. be equivalent to like 4K a month. But with the, after the adpocalypse and like all the new
yeah, because they went. Were you in YouTube? No, so no, that was when out. You I was finished. Out. Yeah, yeah.
So it's all about sponsors now.
Yeah,
that's where I think the massive difference I've seen with people or viewers like being so accepting of someone having a sponsor now.
Yeah.
Compared to if you had an ad, like if I did a couple of sponsored videos and if I'd mentioned them, like that video would just get destroyed.
It's crazy.
They'd be like, how could you like?
Sell how out, could you sell you out like sell that? Out.
Yeah. Like, how could you accept money for your content? What the hell, bro?
And that's what people don't get.
No
like,
way.
It's a
yeah.
fucking job. Like yeah. if you see the amount of work, like, you know, they like I said, they look at it like, oh man, they just get on camera and post it and then, oh, they live in their mansion and stuff. And like, I know for a fact as someone who's just started and mm-hmm. I look at the amount of shit that I do to maybe what I get a small, like real small following, which is why I was like, oh, sick. I can't believe he's coming on. Like, but like the amount of work that I do, I'm like, holy shit. Like I could only imagine what mm. someone that's top of the game is sort of doing there.
Yeah. I think you get, when you can get to a level where you have editors and you can,
yeah.
like the gaming guys who can just pump out content and yeah. someone else is editing and uploading for them. That's when you're like smooth sailing.
Okay.
But when you're grinding like yourself and trying to upload constantly, like every day, every 2 days.
It's, yeah, man. And
I don't think you can do a full-time job and do that.
It's almost impossible. It's, like, you yeah. pretty much just have to go all in. Like,
yeah,
you know, I even look at, like, me with what... I hate relating it back to me, but I'm like, I get home from work and I'm just like, holy shit, the last thing I want to do right now is edit all these videos. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you pretty much went through that, but you have recently just started deciding to get a little bit back into it slightly.
Yeah, a little bit.
What sort of content are you sort of doing now?
I was mainly just doing live streams.
Yeah.
I had... Obviously, everyone was stuck inside for with COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to buy like a decent mic, a decent webcam. I needed them anyway.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to do some gaming because I have like, I do play a fair bit, you know, COD, Fortnite stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, why not just upload on there? It's not something that I don't feel like I'm a content creator really yeah. anymore.
It's just more like social.
It's more just something to do.
Yeah, I did watch, don't find this creepy, but I watched one of your streams while I was in bed
mm-hmm.
and I was like just laying down, just listening. And it seemed very much that way. Like you weren't like, whoa, blah,
yeah.
blah. Like it was yeah. very much like you were very social about it and yeah. you could see sort of a transition that's like, I'm doing this because I love it.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this because it's like, I'm going to get a million views or whatever.
100%.
Yeah. And I guess it's sort of nice being able to go like, I'm doing this for fun now. Like I've sort of had my time. I'm good to go. Like, yeah.
Like I was even streaming on Facebook. Like I had this 160K audience, but I was like, nah, I'll just stream on Facebook. I'll do something different.
Just for fun.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's awesome, man.
It's just something to do.
Yeah. Really. And it's really cool seeing someone who's been in that sort of, you know, area and go, nah, like I'm cool. Like I don't really want this. There's a lot of effort involved. Like I just want to go back to doing this for fun. And I think that's so cool that you didn't feel the pressure to be like, no, I'm in this for good now. This is me. This is my personality. You went, like, did you do a video that was like, hey, I'm stepping back, or was it just one of those situations where you're like, you know what, fuck it.
I pretty much just stopped.
Yeah.
I saw the effort I was putting in wasn't getting the outcome that I wanted for quite a long time. Like. 4 or 5 months
yeah.
of just like, I'm going to put heaps of effort into this video and then I'd get like 30K views, which was small at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like compared to the 100, 200, 300,000 view videos.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just grinding it and like, I feel like I'm going to just get to a point where I'm putting so much effort in and I'm getting nothing back.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to step away from it.
Yeah. So oh man. Like I said, that's cool. It's so like, you know, it's almost like a fuck you to the system. Like, I'll do what I want, man. You don't own me.
Yeah.
I feel a lot of YouTubers, they like, and this is talking out of my ass here, but they feel like they owe their audience. They feel like they're like, I need to please you. And for you to just be like, yeah, you know, you guys are cool, but also I'm in it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to do this anymore.
100%.
Yeah. That's sick, man. But yeah, so I wanted to get the YouTube stuff out of the way
because
I found it.
It's a big part of my life for a long time.
And that's why I thought, I was like, you wouldn't just amass this following because you didn't care about it. So I was like, I need to talk to you about it. And yeah. I think seeing someone from the other side, you know, you see people leading up to it and they're like, yeah, this, it's great. Seeing someone from the other side go, it was good, but also like, it's not the be all and end all of life. Mm. It's not my personality. I don't, you know, that's
I mean, like I traveled like all around Australia with it. I traveled to America 2 times with it, like all for free.
Yeah.
Just with sponsors.
That's,
and that's
so
like
sick, man.
Just having that like is like a win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I always think about it too. Like if I stopped tomorrow and even though there's, you know, I didn't amount a following, I still got to have these mad conversations with people like yourself, who like Isaac John, like all these athletes and these random people, then like I get so much value out. Like these are the types of conversations that I'd love to have, but you don't really get them on a day-to-day basis. Like 100%. You can't just run into you on the street like, hey, do you have an hour to talk about your life? Like,
let's
you
know go in depth about everything that
you've
done.
Exactly. Yeah. But like I said in sort of the intro bit, I did introduce you. Sorry, I got caught up. Like I got you on because your Pokemon card collection is fucking ridiculous, man. It is ridiculous. Like I said just before, you and obviously Tilly got me back into Pokemon cards because you were sort of, he was tagging you and I was like, oh, who's this guy? And I checked out and I saw all your like content and everything. I was like, holy shit, this dude knows everything there is to know about Pokemon cards. What got you into it? Because I feel like this isn't something that you just started a year ago. I feel like this is something that has been forever.
Yeah. So ever since I was a kid, like, I don't know why, but just Pokemon was just like the draw card to me. So like Game Boy games, Nintendo games, everything was Pokemon.
I feel
Pokemon.
That, man. I feel that.
Big feels. I did lose my original collection as a kid.
No.
So I moved house a lot and it was lost in one of the moves. So I just randomly, like one day, it was not a year ago, maybe a little bit more than that. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to slowly get back into it. I was watching Max Mofo, you know, all those guys. And I was like, I'm just going to start collecting again. It's pretty cheap then to get back into it. So, you know, I just slowly got back into it and just built it up over time. And obviously now it's like a pretty big thing.
It's huge. I saw you, was it the Charizard card you sold?
Oh, the other day, mate, the $500 one. Like that's from a new set, a recent set, 2016.
Is it the Evolutions?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not even a holo, it's a reverse.
Yeah.
And like it is graded, so it's a gem mint. But still, like seeing something like that go for $500... It blows my mind. Like really, it's crazy. Thinking about the cards that I had in my original collection make me.
Yeah. Did you have like an OG first edition shiny Charizard?
Oh yeah. Oh, many of them. I remember I had one at school as my ID in my wallet.
Really?
Yeah.
And you think back to that, you're like, why the fuck did I have that in
my
wallet?
Why was that sitting in there, not in a...
Yeah, man. And like, you know, for those of you listening who don't understand, sort of, I got a lot of people who collect like basketball cards and they're sort of into the whole Pokemon thing. But a first edition shiny Charizard is like a slab of gold.
It's the holy grail of Pokemon, apart from a few very, very, very random ones that people don't know. But the first edition Charizard in gem mint condition, which is like graded perfect, is basically like what everyone wants. So it's the first Charizard ever printed. Charizard's like a fan favorite for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone remembers it from the movies, from 100%. Everything. Yeah.
It's like, iconic, man. Yeah. It's one of the most iconic cards. And you're right. It's the holy grail. And to get your hands on it now, like you'd obviously know that. What would you have to go through now to get your hands on something like that?
So if you
like
wanted
graded,
So if you wanted to actually pull one from a pack yourself, is basically impossible now because of the limited sealed packs there are around. So a sealed first edition pack by itself, a heavy one, you're looking at least $5,000. So that's just for the pack, like a sealed booster pack.
Yeah.
And you don't know if there's a Charizard in there.
Yeah.
So say you pull a Charizard. Now that Charizard has to be perfectly centered on the frame, has to have no scratches, has to be literally in perfect condition.
I was going to say, with PSA grading, what do they look for? Because a lot of people don't really understand the whole PSA. They just look at it, they're like, oh yeah, that's mint. It's like, but it might look in good condition, but you can't control the printing of it, hey?
Yeah, it's wild. Like, It's so many things out of your control as well.
Mm.
Like, so you can have a card that looks perfectly fine and you think it's like awesome. You send it in and it'll come back as a six. And you're like, why did I get a six?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, look at that. It's got about six little print lines through the holo foil, or it's got like, it's not centered properly, or there's like some little white nicks on the edge. And they're all things that you can't predict. Like, help, you pulled it out of the pack. You thought it was good. So there's a lot of things that are just printing errors that you can't, you know, can't change.
That's and that's the hardest thing I think people can't really, they don't get when they, like, because I saw a couple and, like, I saw a couple on YouTube get pulled, and not the Charizards, but, like, holos. Like, I think I saw a Gengar, like, first edition get pulled, which is still pretty valuable. I think I think it was Sabrina's Gengar.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a huge one. And if you turn the back over before the pack was even opened, there was, like, little scuff marks.
Yeah.
And, like, this dude, he wasn't one of the big guys, but you could just see that, like, he was genuinely distraught. Like, yeah.
Well, the value, even just dropping from a gem mint 10 to an 8 is like thousands of dollars.
Mm.
Thousands and thousands for those big, for those old school cards. Just because it's so hard to get them in perfect condition. Yeah. Like, it's literally impossible. Like, yeah, there's so few in the world that it's just,
and
it's
even wild. Even running the risk of getting them mailed to you.
Like, yeah, there's so many things that can go wrong along the way.
Like, I know you got a couple, was it you? I don't know if it was you or James, but got like a big mail delivery. Was it you? Or,
possibly.
Yeah. And like, I could imagine as soon as you hit buy, the stress is like,
oh yeah.
And even down to like, what, like, it was just a photo. Like, what is it? How's the person going to describe it? Mm-hmm. All that sort of stuff. Like,
yeah, that's
stressful.
Yeah, that definitely is. And I think because Pokemon collecting has grown so much, because the value has grown so much, there's a lot of people coming in who are willing to like scam people as well. So they're being creative with their angles on their photos. They're hiding scratches on. So I think it's pretty like scary.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're buying online.
Yeah, it's a risk. Yeah. It's like anything. I remember back in the day, I bought a Pokemon Emerald off eBay, and I remember being an 8-year-old kid, and it was obviously, it was a very, very believable ROM hack.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much once you beat the Pokemon League, it like corrupted file. And I remember sitting on my knees crying, and I remember yelling, "Damn you, eBay," as like an 8-year-old kid, man. And it's so ingrained in my head. Aww. And that literally put me off buying anything. Like, I'm talking anything off eBay for like years. Cause I was so like, oh man, I was so pissed off about it. It's like,
don't blame you either.
Oh like, man. Yeah. Especially as like, you know, you'd feel it like as a Pokemon fan, you're just like, fuck, like this sucks balls.
Yeah. So it's a massive risk buying raw cards. So a raw card is basically something that hasn't been graded.
Yeah.
So it hasn't been professionally looked at and analyzed and put in a PSA sleeve. So if you're buying like high end, expensive raw cards, it's a massive, massive risk. Whereas if you're buying a graded card, you know what you're getting.
So with grading, because I've actually been curious about this for myself, because there's a couple cards I got that I know they're not gem mint 10s, but I'm just curious as to what they get. What is sort of the costing around PSA grading?
Yeah, so they basically have different tiers. So PSA have the different tiers. So like your high end stuff, which is like your first editions, all that stuff, which will fetch a massive amount. They need to have a higher level of insurance on the on the postage, because obviously PSA is in America, so you have to pay more. I don't know the exact fees, but I think
it's very variable.
Lowest would be like $20 a card, which would be for like your $100 to $200 range charge.
Okay. Oh wow, so that's actually not too bad. Yeah,
it can range from $20 to $2,000.
And when you get it back, it's all cased and everything. Like you don't have to case it yourself.
Specific way you need to pack it.
Yeah.
In like a PSA sleeve, in a PSA holder, and then send that off to them, and then they'll analyze it and then send it back in their grade.
And you just pray to God that nobody fucks it up. Basically, when you send it over there.
Yeah.
Like a lot of YouTubers I sort of watch, they're sort of like, you know, once it leaves your care, like, you don't like, I mean, for example, like I saw, like, I know you got one of Tilly's prints. You got fucking awesome Gyarados, shiny Gyarados, like the red Gyarados.
Yeah.
And I saw one of him that he sort of got, like, he got a photo back from whoever got it, and folded, it was literally in folded in half. And it literally says, do not fucking fold on the thing. And then,
so destroyed.
Yeah. And like,
soul destroying.
It literally is. And you sort of like, you know, once it leaves your care, like, it could come back a completely different card, 100%.
Man. It could get lost. You never know. Like, yeah. Someone could have an in. It, like, imagine if you had first edition Charizard, Blastoise, Venusaur. You're like, I want these graded. You send them off, and there's someone gets like a tip off on the way to PSA that this is in the mail, and they just yoink it out of the production line.
Yeah, and
like it could happen.
And the thing about it is too, when there's money involved, they don't need to be a collector of Pokemon. Mm-hmm. They just, it's like anything. If they know there's money involved, they don't give a fuck. Like 100%. The sentimental value to you. Like, yeah. I know I've got a card. It's a the Spanish Pikachu one, and I remember getting it. I'll show you it later, but I remember getting it. It's a promo card. It sort of looks like he's rubber, and yeah, it's not worth that much. But I remember it was a card that I got out of my first ever Ekka Pokemon show bag.
Oh, awesome!
And
awesome.
I was like, I still like buy the show. Like, I don't really go to the Ekka anymore. But if someone's going, I'll be like, please get me a Pokemon show bag. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, now they're kind of, once you go to the Pokemon store in Japan, like, I don't know if you've been, but holy shit, man.
I've had a plan for 3 years, and every year I postpone it, and then Corona.
Mate, that is like Mecca. Yeah, like, if you're ever going to Japan, you need a fellow Pokemon person. Like, I love Japan and Pokemon, bro. Awesome. Yeah, it's like the sentimental value to that. And like, if I was to get that, I'd sort of approved. And you know, even if it was a Gen Mint 10, it's worthless in the fact that it's got so much sentimental value. But like, if something was to happen to that card and someone got it and knocked it off for like $50, whatever it's worth,
soul destroying,
dude, that would kill me. That would literally kill me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, those first edition cards are nuts. Like, I've got a couple of mates that are going to be listening to this who have those first edition like collections and have kept them they sort of knew it was going to be worth something, and like also the sentimental value. But now they're starting to think like, holy shit, this book is worth like thousands of dollars.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, yeah.
That's, I love like seeing, so I've been trying to like reach out to people who might have like an old collection, and I'm just like, just let me have a look and I can tell you like what these are worth if you're interested in selling or if you just want to know like what you have. So
yeah,
I think that's a thing
too. So with, like we mentioned, the Evolutions pack, that's pretty much a reprint of the base set.
Yeah.
So does that make, this might seem like a noob question, but does that make the original base set decrease in price or
not? No, not at all. So nothing, no matter what sets are released, nothing will beat the original, basically. Like, first edition is always going to be the first edition.
Yeah.
And the unlimited base set is always going to be the unlimited base set. So I think, if anything, it makes people want the original ones more because they see, oh, wow, look at this, like, Holo Charizard. It's so awesome. Wow, I wish I had an original
one. Yeah, I definitely felt that. Like, I've seen, like, I saw sort of, like, the reverse Charizard that you had, and I was like, fuck, I want a real one. Like, I just want one so badly just to be like, look what I got, man.
Yeah.
Like, look at this.
Well, I remember I bought a graded PSA 8 base set Charizard. One day, I was just like, I want that nostalgia back, so I'm just going to buy it. I want one in decent condition.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't want to pay for the 10. I wish I did.
Yeah.
But I was like, I'll just get the 8. I think I paid $90 for it.
Yeah, which is like, that's pretty good for that.
I was like, oh, it's a bit expensive, but you know, I'll buy it. Yeah. And seeing it now, like, the price of that, the base unlimited, not even the first edition or anything, is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, so the 8s are going for $1,400 now.
All right. When did you buy that one? How long ago?
Maybe 4 months. Five months.
Oh, wow. Oh, cool. So that's like, it's just quick. Recently. Yep. Far out.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. Yep. Well, I guess it gets people thinking because, like, for example, like, Pokemon cards are something that as a kid, I think I can't name one mate of mine that didn't have Pokemon cards at one point in their life.
Yeah.
And then sort of like, you know, even recently since I've started doing it, I've got mates who are like just rummaging through their cupboards, like, what is this worth? And then, like, I sort of just direct them to your account because I have no idea. And like, I guess that's the beauty of Pokemon cards. Like, I have no fucking clue what I'm doing, but the rush of like buying a pack, like we spoke as you were coming up today, you bought like 5 booster packs or something and scored like
zero.
And like, that hurts a lot when you're like, and the worst thing I think they did was if you fucking open the pack wrong and you get the
code
card. And I've just recently worked out that each, depending on what's in the pack, the code cards are different.
The green and the white one, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So the white ones.
It ruins the surprise.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. And, like, it kind of sucks for me because I noticed, like, when I was, like, sort of filming it, I'd, like, spin the card around and I'd, like, fuck it up for myself.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, shit, I need to learn more about this stuff, man. Like, yeah.
The little pack tricks.
Yeah, bro. Even down to, like, how many to put to the front and stuff like that. So, like, with what you've got, your collection is huge. What could you possibly be chasing? Like, what's for you? What is now, like, you know, Charizard's always going to be the holy grail, but what is that holy grail now?
So, like, for me, my favorite Pokemon is Vaporeon.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So, they're my holy personal holy grail card. There's two of them, actually. Mm. One is the Gold Star Vaporeon, which is released in 2007. It's basically, it's just like a special, very special Vaporeon, and I've wanted it for a long time, but I pretty much only want to buy it in a PSA 10. So the first one I've seen in a long time popped up on eBay for $2,000, and I'm very, very tempted to buy it.
Yeah, like...
I actually put in an offer for $1,800, so hopefully he accepts it.
Oh, wow.
So that's what I'm chasing, but really, I'm just trying to finish sets. So, you know, I finished all the original
stuff. Yeah, I saw that last night. That was wild. Nah, you're right, bro. Yeah, that was wild, that video. I was, like, watching you just go through. I was like, holy shit. Like, how many books of cards do you think you own?
I think I've got about 7 binders full.
Oh, okay. Like, how thick we talking?
They're...
like, big,
so
thick
boys. So, that's just complete sets, and then the doubles are kind of stored in drawers and stuff like that, the bulk.
Yeah.
But I the good thing about the Pokemon community is there's always someone looking to buy your stuff.
Yeah.
So if you keep it in good enough condition and you know what you're talking about and you know how to price it right, you can kind of fund the purchases that you want with other your doubles and stuff like that. And it's not about, you know, making millions and millions of dollars, but it's more just like being able to continue the hobby.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's what a lot of people sort of, if you get into it, it's like anything. If you get into something to make money, like, you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah,
it's going to be
for the wrong
shit.
Reason.
Like, 100%. I know a lot of people who are sort of into basketball cards, they're into it because they're genuinely NBA freaks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same for me. Like, you know, I'll like spend some money on cards and I'll pull a card that's like $9 or like $8. Like, I think, I can't remember what card. I think the Jirachi GX is worth like $6 maybe if it's in like perfect condition.
Mm-hmm.
And like someone reached out and said, oh, like, well, you didn't pay for the pack. I was like, yeah, but that's not the point.
Mm.
Like, the point is, like, I now have, like, if I keep this properly, like, this is, like, going to be, you know, who knows what the future, like you said, like, your card, like, the Charizard one, that inflated
ridiculously,
hugely, and then 1,000%. That card there, like, can then be funded to buy, like, the Vaporeon or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's funny, but it almost, like, I mean, I listen to Gary Vee a little bit, but he's very big on, like, it almost teaches business. Like, it teaches you to be aware of, like, business and stuff 100%. Like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's so wide. It's such a small sort of step towards, like, a big thing.
Mm.
Like, it's really cool. So, with like, in terms, you know how you just said, like, your funding and stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
how much money would you sort of, like, would you drop on just buying packs? Because I know you're not really into the random packs.
Yeah,
hey?
So I'm not a massive fan of the new sets.
Yeah.
So I kind of stopped after Sun and Moon, which is the second most recent release. Just because, I don't know, not a big fan of the art on there. And I kind of like got lost with like the amount of Pokemon that are around now. Like, it's just wild. So I'm more into buying single cards, like buying people's collections, stuff like that. I'd prefer to save up for a couple of weeks and buy like some old school stuff rather than invest in like a brand new booster box.
Yeah.
Keeping it sealed is really cool, but like cracking those big new booster boxes just to see the new cards, I'm not really super interested in.
Yeah. Do you sort of get like, I always get this sort of I can't remember what it was. I think it was like Malibu Stacy and stuff off The Simpsons. When like a like, you know, like Smithers, when like one gets opened, he gets crazy. If you see like a YouTube video of someone opening like those sealed, like does it hurt your heart, man?
Yeah, some of it. I forget who I was watching once, and they were opening a base set unlimited booster box. And it's a very old video, so they were cheap at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I have deep regrets because I had a guy who said, I'll sell you one for $1,000, and I refused it.
Which is a fucking awesome deal.
Yeah, like, which is, they're over 10K now.
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
But yeah, I saw him opening the packs, just like, just tearing into them. And I'm like, bro, you're just destroying it. Like, any kind of value you want to hold is just getting destroyed right now.
Man,
and that hurts me.
Yeah, and I noticed there's a couple guys, like, I don't know, like they're like, they're mainly like the card trade dudes. They just do like multiple, like, cards,
hundreds of packs,
and they sort of like weigh up the value of them. So mm-hmm. like, for example, like they'll smash through a booster box, and it's very similar, like a base set booster box, to try and see like what's the value actually, like, you know, how much did we buy it for versus how much money we get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, same sort of thing. It's just like tear, bang, 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 bang. Like there's no real
passion.
No, it's just like, there's no like excitement or anything. It's just, you just feel like a dude's like running a business. He's mm-hmm. just like, man, like I hate that content, but some people fucking froth it. Like, you know, I never understand that sort of stuff sometimes.
I think the people that enjoy stuff like that aren't ones who had Pokemon in their childhood, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, like, my big thing was Pokemon Gold on Game Boy Color. My favorite game 100% of all time.
100%. Me too. I think I started it like 4 or 5 times. I got it for Christmas, man. Yeah. It was so sick.
Love that game. And just like, I don't know, just, I mean, that's why I got Ho-Oh tattooed on my leg.
I was going to say, we actually have very similar tattoos. Yes. I've got little surfing HMO5.
Pikachu?
HMO5? No, it's HMO3. Yeah, surfing... what do you call it? Squirtle.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah, I got that bad boy there.
Oh, so
and,
good.
But I saw your piece. I saw your piece, and your piece is, I would say it's arguably one of the best pieces James has ever done.
I was so stoked with it. Both the Vaporeon and the Ho-Oh are like my 2 favorite pieces.
Even the angle, like, because I love tattoos. Like, I'm really into them. And then the way it's like, because I noticed it's the actual picture of Ho-Oh that's on the front of Gold.
Yeah.
And like, that would make a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Like, do you reckon you get any more? Like,
I've got a big plan for my knee.
Ooh, what are you thinking?
I don't want to share the full idea.
Yeah, don't share it. If you don't,
it's big and it's Pokemon.
Oh,
I'll leave it at
I'm
that.
I'm keen. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Like, anything on the knee. Good luck though, because it's fucked.
Yeah. None of it's hurt so far. So,
mate, I don't know how you do it, but it fucking kills me.
Really?
Like, I'm sitting there popping fucking ibuprofen and drinking dick loads of water. Like, I think me and James always have a joke that we got to like double wrap the table because I sweat like a motherfucker, man. Like, it's ridiculous how much I sweat when I'm getting tattooed. Like, I hate it, but I love it.
I almost fall asleep every time.
Yeah, you're one of those nutcase people,
man.
It
doesn't hurt.
Fuck.
It does bleed a fair bit, but I don't.
What do you reckon that is?
Like, I don't know. I might be my skin.
Yeah, I think some people definitely have skin that they can just cop it, eh? Like, they just don't really give a fuck. Like, they'll just sit there. Like, I see dudes, like, just sitting there, like, reading and writing, and I'm just like, so you guys aren't sitting there crying, like, for the next fucking 6 hours?
Mm-hmm.
Like, my knee was probably the worst. Like, it's like a little nub on the front of your knee, man, when it hits that, and it's like, game over, man.
Yeah.
Game over.
See what happens when I hear that. Yeah,
bro. Yeah. Oh, good luck. James will tell you when it's coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, do you feel like you would get back into content if it was around Pokemon cards? Like, if you know, even just like information, like you said, it's sort of growing now. It's a big thing. Like, you know, I've only recently started getting back into it. I know multiple people who are doing the same thing. Do you feel like there's like an avenue for you that might be like, hey, here's like a how-to video on how to start collecting, or here's some card openings? Do you feel like that's something you'd ever get into?
Yeah, I'd probably start it just staying with Instagram at the moment and then figuring out how I could differentiate from all the other 100 YouTube channels.
It's
on
so hard,
Pokemon,
man.
YouTube channels. Like, so, but it is something that I do. I feel like I have a fair bit of knowledge about.
Fuck
so
yeah, man.
It would be
definitely
good to talk about.
Yeah.
And I also always like open myself up if people have questions or like pricing questions. I try and like.
Yeah, well, that was the best thing about, you know, I reached out to you on your Pokemon account and I was like, can you please come on the podcast and just talk me through, like, this is a pretty selfish podcast because I want to know these things. But the thing about it that's cool is when I said you were coming on, all these people were like, can you ask this? Can you ask this? Like, the PSA pricing. I had so many people like, how much does PSA pricing cost? Like, is it worth it?
It's definitely worth it.
It's
definitely.
Yeah. now that I know, and now that I know the price, like, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
But also the mail thing gives me massive anxiety.
Yeah. I haven't met anyone who's lost cards yet.
Yeah.
But I also haven't met anyone who's sent mega cards there yet.
Yeah,
so
true.
They're kind of sending like mid-range stuff.
Yeah. Do you reckon some people are sort of scared to send those big ones
from Australia? Yeah, I think so, because the wait time is probably about 4 months to send the card off and come back. So
Do you reckon they'll ever sort of have like, I don't know how PSA works, but do you reckon they'll ever sort of set up like a branch somewhere here or something?
I feel like maybe, maybe they will. There are a couple of Australian grading places, but they just don't have like the credibility that PSA and Beckett have.
Yeah.
So people don't, like basically if you have a 10 in some random Australian graded
they'll be like, company, that's bullshit,
no one cares.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
May as well just have a raw card.
Yeah. Do you feel like, are you a big collector in the Japanese versions of cards?
Slowly getting into it. I feel like I'd be into the Japanese stuff just for the art.
Yeah.
Because Japanese cards are way better made than English. So it's a lot easier to get tens and nines with Japanese art. And that's why the value for them is lower, generally lower than English stuff.
Oh, okay.
But I'm slowly like getting into it. And I think a lot more people will now that the value of English cards is out of reach for a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's something about the Japanese cards too, because I guess like it sounds so stupid, but like it originates from there. Everything Pokemon comes out of there. Mm-hmm. Like, so to get that sort of nostalgic feel, like I can't remember what card show. It was in Akihabara. It's a really big one. I can't remember what it's called. Max went there and all of them go there. But anyway, I just saw I went there and I like,
oh, it the was card shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mandrake.
Yeah. That's the one. And I went there and I like, I didn't have the feeling that I had now towards cards. And now I'm just like fucking itching to get back because I'm like, fuck, I need to like, cause I was looking at some cards there and they weren't expensive. Like, like even down to, I think I went in and I got two, like original Game Boy versions of Green and Red. And it's like, I've got them sealed up there actually. And I'm really nervy to take them out. They're not worth much. But once again, it's like that sentimental value. Like it's crazy how much they mean to you.
Mm.
And I bought those, but then there was also some like just basic cards that I was like, holy shit, I haven't seen that card in ages. Like that's wild. Now I think back to it, I'm like, why the fuck did I not buy those cards? Like, do you think when you go there, because I imagine you'll get there ASAP, do you think you're just gonna drop like bombs, like money?
I think I will spend a fair bit. I know there's a few specific Japanese items that I would love to have, which are like the Mario Pikachu, Luigi Pikachu crossover stuff. Love to get my hands on
that. Would
you
get both, the full art and the?
Yeah, 100%.
How much are they worth? Because that's a weird collab, hey?
It is a weird collab.
Yeah.
Like, I love Nintendo, but I don't know where that came from. Yeah. Anyway, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think the full art...
I can get it up here.
The full arts are probably going for about 1,000 maybe, 500. Maybe like Mario Pikachu full art.
This one here?
Yeah, that's the one.
Dude, far out. There it is. Yeah. That's wild.
That is a sick card.
It is actually a sick card. I saw this in a video actually like not long. This is the two of them. But I saw them in a video like not long ago. I think I was literally like this week.
Yeah.
And like, it was the first time I'd ever seen them. And I literally was just like, this is so cool. Like so that's good. Something you'd like get framed. Like the art is so dope on it, man.
So that's that would be the big duo to have right there.
Yeah.
So that's
fuck, Gem Mint 10 too.
I'm going to say 1400 for the two, something like that.
Fuck. Yeah. Like that is wild. So like for those of you listening, and it's pretty much a crossover of Pikachu dressed up. It almost looks like a cosplay of them being like Luigi and Mario. And like, they actually look really cute. Like they look like the chubby Pikachu. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's like, it's so sick, man. Like how many of those do you reckon was there a lot of those released or?
I have no idea, actually. Really? I don't know that much about that release. I've seen the boxes, like the sealed boxes. They're pretty popular. They're going for about 500 each, which contain just the raw card and all the extras.
These ones here?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. These ones here.
Oh, okay.
There you go, 538.
Oh, holy shit. That's
on eBay.
Fuck, that is a lot. And that's sealed. Once again, sealed. If you buy it, who the fuck knows how it's going to rock up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Oh, man, like... it makes you excited, eh?
Yeah,
like when you see that stuff. Like I find that funny, and like I can see it in you, like just reading your sort of your body language. Talking about YouTube, you're like, yeah, this or this. Talking about Pokemon cards, you're like, holy shit, yes, this is sick.
I think I've like kind of reignited like my childhood like passion because it was my passion for so long. Like I found a photo the other day of me in like. I had like a Pokemon hat on, a Pikachu, or like a Pokemon shirt on, and I'm holding like my original red Game Boy Pikachu folder.
That's so sick.
And it's so depressing because I know what was in that folder.
Yeah, yeah. You're looking at it now as like an adult that has a bit of logic. You're just like, why the fuck am I an idiot of a kid?
Why
like,
did I lose
you think
that?
Back to that wallet they had with the Charizard and you're like, I think I'm fucked up for doing that. Like, it's almost sickening, you feel like.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, because I reckon I would love to see you make content. Like, not even just content around, like, you know, opening and stuff like that, but I feel like there's so, when there's card collecting, there's so many people that are, I guess, scared to get into it because they feel like they don't know. Like, to be completely honest, I was kind of a little bit scared to get back into it because I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I don't know what's good. I was just like, I think it was only because of this that I was like, well, I'm already on camera anyway. Like, fuck it. Why not? Like, open it up. And like, I think even some of the cards that I was pulling, I was like, oh, this is cool. And I'd look at the price. I was like, oh.
40 cents.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, this is worthless. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, like, having someone like you just putting that knowledge out there, especially now, is like, it would be like so good.
Mm.
And I can imagine still, like, you may not have some, like, I just think of like followers in general. You know, if you pick out 160,000 people, for example, with like YouTube, how many of those 160,000 people are going to be into Pokemon? I'd probably say like maybe 5,000, if that.
Yeah.
That's still an awesome base, man.
Yeah.
Like, and like, who knows where it'll go, but you know, once again, it's so, you.
So the big channels that I really like are PokéRev and TCA Gaming.
Okay.
So they're two of the guys who I know who have the biggest collection I've ever seen, especially TCA. Like, the stuff he has, like, I don't know if he was an employee at Wizards of the Coast, but he has like full uncut sheets of Pokemon cards.
Shit.
Like the ones that go through the conveyor belt.
Yeah.
Like just stuff like that. It's just unbelievable to see. So obviously I'm nowhere near on that level.
Yeah.
But like watching, there's always someone who has a better
collection. It's always
than
like
you.
That higher and higher.
Which I think is awesome with collecting.
With printing, like a lot of people don't really realize if you get a misprinted Pokemon card, it's actually worth something. It's not shit. Like, I've seen a couple misprinted trainer cards where they've just got like a couple lines down the middle. And then I like Googled it and like some of those are going for like $300 because there's only like five or six of them around because like it's only one sheet that's sort of fucked up. And they were just like, ah, screw it.
So one of the biggest ones that I'm thinking of right now is if anyone remembers the 2000 Pokemon movie. I don't know if you remember when you got your ticket, you got that little packet
and
it contained either a Dragonite, a Mewtwo, an Electabuzz or a Pikachu.
Mm.
And it had a little Warner Brothers 2000 gold stamp.
I think
stamp
I have that
it.
Card.
Yeah. Like, so I've got the full, the normal collection.
Yeah.
But there was a run of those cards where someone put the printing sheet in upside down. So the stamp is upside down on the card. And those things are going for like raw, like thousands of dollars.
Shit.
So just, it's the same card, but instead of the gold stamp being up top right, it's bottom left.
It's just something so simple.
Yep.
So simple like that.
Just the rarity is just
And even down to like people sort of don't understand too, if you get a card that's like a like one of the rare, but like what's it called? It's like a uncommon rare or something where the first number is bigger than the printed number.
Yeah.
Like that's worth a bit too, eh? Like when you get something like that.
Yeah, there's really all these really weird errors, like the Wartortle, most people know who Wartortle is. The base set one of that, there was a run where they accidentally put the little evolution box in the top left corner.
Yeah.
They printed the Blastoise stock on the Wartortle card. So it's got Wartortle evolving into Wartortle.
Oh, okay.
And there was a run of that, and that's worth a bunch of money.
You think, like, if I saw that, like, back in the day, if I saw that, I'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, and then even now, if I saw it now, like, how often do you analyze like the entire card?
Yeah.
Even if it's, especially if it's not like a holo or something, you're just like, oh,
just
fuck
like,
it.
Oh, it's nothing.
Yeah. That's wild. What do you think about like when people, cause I've noticed this on eBay. I feel like I'm just juicing you for information here.
No, go for it.
That's
love
so
talking
good.
About it.
When people sort of do, you can see like boxes on eBay and stuff like that, where it's like you pay $15 and they go, oh, like you're guaranteed 10 holos, one
like
GX. Like yeah. Like what do you, just by your reaction, I feel like they're full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's certain guys who are 100% legit.
Yeah.
So TCA, for example, he used to do like $1,000 mystery boxes.
Okay.
And you'd buy like, give them $1,000 basically. And you would know like the stuff you're getting is 100% going to be worth that much.
Yeah.
So you'd get like, sealed booster packs, like graded cards, like even booster boxes sometimes.
Yeah.
But the like the random small things that are like guaranteed one holo and 20 shiny cards, would just, like, for $20, you'd probably get, like, $4 value.
Yeah, okay.
Just because they're just, basically, those people are just opening bulk packs.
Yeah.
And just getting rid of their doubles.
Yeah, getting rid of their sort of shit. Yeah. And I guess on that as well, like, I mean, this is, once again, a selfish question, because I've been tempted by watching, like, lots of YouTubers open booster boxes. And I looked up booster boxes. They vary from, like, $140 to, like, $200. Do you feel like someone who's just a casual sort of collector, would that $140 to $200, like, investment, would that be a good purchase? Like, what do you think about buying full booster boxes?
Yeah, I'm actually pretty pro, like, having stuff sealed.
Yeah.
So, especially if you're wanting to open, like, if you're with your kid or whatever, and you're like, I want to open a lot of packs.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth buying the whole box, because you're guaranteed, like, an ultra rare and a secret rare.
Yeah.
Or ultra rare and a... Anyway, like, there's a certain, like, mapping to each booster box.
Yeah, so I was going to ask about
that. You're going to get a certain amount of cards.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just buying loose boosters, you know, you could go forever before you, like, today.
Yeah, oh, man. Five packs with nothing. And I said to you, like, I haven't uploaded it on Instagram, so, like, I'm not pulling, like, great cards all the time. I actually recorded, like, me opening four packs and got fucking nothing.
Yeah.
And I even looked at it. I was like, this isn't even good content, because this is just me going, yep, fuck, okay, yep. Oh, this is again, okay.
Mm.
So, like... Because you can actually map out the boxes. Like, a lot of YouTubers sort of, I guess that's why they mix them up, hey? Because is a mapping to it.
There was, Max Mofo actually proved it for one of the booster boxes.
I just watched it.
The Sun and Moon one, yeah. So they stopped after that, but that was literally mapped. So you could count back the packs it had.
And that was bad. I'm going to let you explain it, but that was bad mainly for people reselling the packs.
So easy, yeah. So... Example, in every pack, there's one rainbow rare. Like, in every booster box, there's one rainbow rare. So, if you pull that rainbow rare from a booster pack, you know that no other pack out of those 36 packs is going to have that card.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty easy to resell the rest of them. Yeah. And especially if you know where the good cards are, you can just sell off shitty packs for $6 each, which people will buy.
And for sure, yeah. Like,
I mean, they're going to get nothing, but they have nothing.
Yeah, and even if you're selling them for like $4, which is cheap for a booster pack, and someone sees that and it's unopened and they don't know any better, like, they're going to... Like, I would do that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that video that you're talking about, I would have just gone on eBay and just been like, oh, sick, I'll buy that. Mm. And then I'll get it and I'll be like, holy shit, I've just wasted $100 and I've got nothing.
Yeah, so I suggest not buying... booster packs, like single booster packs on eBay with the intention of pulling a good card from them.
Okay.
So I do collect sealed booster packs. So for example, like I wanted the fossil set, which is like the third ever release set. And I bought the three booster packs and I knew that there was not going to be a hollow in. Like I knew they were going to be weighed. So the old ones could be weighed, the new ones can't. And I bought them to basically just have them sealed and for the art.
Should I fucking buy this? Is this worth it? And I literally knew you were coming on. So I was like, fuck, okay. I need to ask you, is it worth it? Is it actually properly?
If you're going to buy a sealed booster box, it's worth it.
100%. Yep. What would be your, because there's a lot of places. If you were to buy one, which?
I try and buy through like a private person on like some of the Facebook groups.
Yeah.
So like Pokemon Cards Australia or anything like that. Generally because they're cheaper. Otherwise, like I wouldn't go to a shop like Mr. Toys Toy World or something and go, can I have a booster box? Because they're going to charge you 36 times the booster price.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of websites, Rare Candy Collectibles.
Yeah, I think that's where I'm getting. I just bought a whole bunch of top loaders and stuff like that from Rare Candy. And
yeah, so anywhere,
he's really nice too. Yeah, he's so nice. Yeah, he's awesome. Like every time I message him and ask, because I know they're backordered and I was like, what's the go? Like, do I get them now and then I get another thing? And he was really polite. And it seems like I like the fact, it's like anything. You buy from small business, you get people who genuinely care about everything. Like, they care about, they're collectors as well, like I sort of notice.
Yeah, so I'd stray away from buying from the big places. And generally, you can find, like, a better price because a sealed booster box is a sealed booster box. You know what I mean? As long as it hasn't been tampered with, which it most likely hasn't.
Yeah.
For the new ones. The older ones, it's a little bit more different because you're in like the $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 range for some of those old booster boxes. So comparing that to $150, people don't really care as much.
Yeah, exactly right, man. Mm. Fuck. hey man, we've been going for an hour. I know you've probably got places to be, but bro, I really appreciate you coming on.
Awesome,
I
think man.
Thanks, man. Like I really this is a topic, and this is something that I'm very lucky that I get to do. I get to have people like you in and talk about things that I'm genuinely interested in. And I think it's nice that like you're genuinely interested in it too. And we didn't talk about veganism once.
Oh, we did it.
How damn, good.
I know,
how
amazing.
Good. I know, we're doing well, man.
Best
we're doing
vegans
well.
Ever.
I know, right? Yeah. So we'll leave that one for another time. And but mate, where can people find, like, I don't know what you want to play. You've got a million different chat.
I'll just plug my Instagram.
Go for it, bro.
At Nathan, HIBBOTT, or
awesome.
Nathan H Pokemon.
Nathan H Pokemon's the best one, because your content on there is genuinely cool. Like, all your photography is good.
I share everything, yeah.
Yeah, mate, it's unreal. So I really appreciate you coming on. Please go follow this man. He is a Pokemon wizard, even more than myself, and that is very hard to admit. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Apologies about my my teacher voice. But yeah, if you like the content, go like, subscribe, do all that sort of stuff. Go listen to Apple Podcasts. I'm not going to tell you again. Thank you so much, brother.
Hit the like button, boy.
Yeah, boy.